I know the capacity that you have to memorize things. If you're happy and you know, do them all. We didn't clap all the three times. We just clapped only one time. If you're happy and you know, do them all. Amen. There you go. You're good students now. Now I can continue to teach you the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so excited this morning. And I know you are, to be in the house of the Lord. I take it a great privilege, you know, to just show up here and to just get an opportunity to join up with you, my brothers and my sisters, to worship the Lord. Amen. You know, sometimes I was thinking, you know, when we worship the Lord, it's very easy sometimes to just think this is a regular thing. We come here at 12:30 and, you know, the worshipers will be here and we just get into the motions. But, you know, something that it came to me is that we need to take it like the Lord has really privileged us, you know, to even come into his house. Praise the Lord. It is an honor. Think about the so many countless thousands out there who really wanted to be here, but they are not here. You know, for one reason or another, maybe they fell sick or, you know, something happened, you know, a tragedy happened. Maybe they were planning to come and things just happened and they couldn't come into the house of the Lord. But every time we come into the house of the Lord, it is a privilege, it is an honor, and I want us to not take it lightly, you know, for that extension of love and the extension of mercy and grace that he has given us to come even and worship him. Praise the Lord. It is good to see all of you. Last weekend, we were not here. We went to take my sister around. We realized that was the only weekend that we had. And we wanted to see, we wanted her to see part of Texas. And I'm sure that she had a good time wherever we went. But we are glad to be back. Amen. This morning I have a message from the Lord. And I believe it's from the Lord because I really struggled. I didn't know what I needed to come and teach us and hear from the Lord. But just suddenly as I was, you know, contemplating and asking the Lord what I needed to share, I had a word, fallow ground. Amen. Everybody say fallow ground. Amen. Now, what is a fallow ground? Break your fallow ground is a title of the message that I want to bring. It is going to be a two-part series, so if we don't finish today, we'll be able to finish next Sunday. Hopefully, we shall be able to go through it, and I believe the Lord is going to bless us. Break your fallow ground. Break your fallow ground. I'm reading, we want to read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 3. If Sister Lorraine can put it up from there, or if you have your Bible, we can turn up there. Jeremiah, chapter number 3. And also we are going to read from the book of Hosea, chapter number 10, verse number 12. Those two verses. So Jeremiah chapter number 4, verses number 3. And we are going to read together. If you're there, can you say amen? If you're not there, can you say wait a little bit? Okay, so we are all there. For this is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. Plow your uncultivated ground and do not sow among thorns. For this is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. Plow your uncultivated ground and do not sow among thorns. Up there in the translation that we have, you can all read, for this is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Break up the unplowed ground. Do not sow among thorns. And then we are going to read the book of Hosea, chapter number 10, verse number 12. The Bible says, in the translation that I have here, it says, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. Sow righteousness to yourself, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. So the Bible up there says, sow righteousness. Sow is just like to plant righteousness for yourselves and reap faithful love. Break up your untilled ground. It is time to seek the Lord until He comes and sends righteousness on you like the rain. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the next few minutes that we are going to hear this word, I pray that you shall use me as an instrument, O Lord. I just want to be a conduit to just deliver that which you lay in my spirit for us, O God. Thank you as we listen to your word. Your word is active and alive right now, and it shall penetrate deep into our souls to give us correction, admonition, and even to put us in the right perspective according to your will and purpose. And I thank you. Open up our ears of understanding that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. Holy Spirit of the Lord, we honor you and we invite you to come and lead and guide us even as we hear this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know how many of you were involved, you know, back in the day or maybe back in your home country in breaking an untilled ground. You know, when I was reading this scripture, I was taken to many, many years ago when my mother used to take us, you know, to cultivate or to break ground on untilled land. And the experience of breaking an untilled land is not quite interesting, particularly if you have some kind of special grass within that place of land. I remember that you couldn't just dig with any tool, you know. You had to go with a forked, kind of like, it looked like a djembe. I don't know what you call a djembe here, but it's kind of an instrument, so that when you push it into the ground, it will be able to pull out all the grass and the roots, and so that the place is just left with the soft soil. And I remember many years that we used to go, and my mother, you know, used to be, she would put a flask of tea just, you know, like a few meters away, and she would tell us, nobody touches that tea, nobody touches any bread until we reach out there. And we would work and would work and would work, and I would have blisters on my hand, but you know, we did that job, and let me tell you, after the whole episode, we would gather all the grass and the roots that we picked up, and we would let it dry, and then we would put it into, you know, we would light it up, and it would burn, and then we would have a good place where we would sow seeds. Amen? Hallelujah. There's no farmer who goes out. I don't know whether you've ever seen a farmer who just carelessly wakes up one morning. He doesn't even watch out the seasons of sowing seeds or just even doesn't know the timings when the rains come. You know, who wakes up one morning and just throws seeds everywhere. They used to do that long time ago. But, you know, with modern technology, we are able to know the seasons. We are able to know. We even have actually better equipment to prepare and till the land. Especially in America, I've never seen anybody with a djembe. So every work is mechanized, you know, and, you know, they are able to till the land. And, you go into, particularly if you can travel across the country, you can be mesmerized by how these machines do work. You know, how they level the ground and the soil looks so tender, ready just to receive the seeds, praise the Lord. And so when they were talking about the fallow ground in the olden time, in the modern time, this is what it means. It is a tilled ground. It is a plowed ground, but it has been left for a season so that it can accumulate moisture. It can accumulate certain things, and they might put it on a hold for a certain season in order to prepare and to radiate for the next season to accept seed. But in the Old Testament or in the olden times, what that word meant, fallow ground meant, it meant that the land was uncultivated. It meant that the land was unprepared. It meant that the land probably had rocks and stones, and somebody had to do some work on it in order for them to sow seeds on it. Amen? So the Bible is telling us, break your fallow ground. Break your fallow ground. It's interesting to us that these two people are prophets. And it's like the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the Judea, to the people of Judea and Jerusalem. And he's telling them, if God is going to work in your hearts, if God is going to move in your midst, then you have to do something. There is a prerequisite action that you have to do, and you have to break your fallow ground. Amen? Break your uncultivated ground. For this is what the Lord says to the men of Judea and Jerusalem, plow your uncultivated ground and do not sow among thorns. It seems like in the day that they used to broadcast their seeds everywhere, and it is little wonder that they never got any production or they never got any fruits, because they never broke the ground or they never prepared the ground. Now, what can we learn? What is the ground signify in the Bible? Everywhere you go in the Bible, what does ground, whenever they are talking about break your fallow ground, what does it signify in our lives? Now, Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, 3, verse number 8, and I would like us to read that. It's a parable of the sower. Praise the Lord. It is a parable of the sower. And Jesus used to speak in many parables. And this was one of the parables that he talked about the application of the word of the Lord in our lives. And this is how the parable goes. If you can go with me in the book of Matthew 13, verse number 3 to 8. He said, he told them many things in parables, saying, listen carefully. A sower went out to sow seed in his field. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, between the fields, and the birds came and ate it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and at once they sprung up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds, verse number 7, other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns came up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and yielded grain. Some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. And the disciples actually were worried because they could not understand this parable. And Jesus started admonishing them and telling them that, you know what, you hear so many things but you don't understand. And Jesus, in verse number 18, goes ahead and explains what this parable meant, because the disciples could not kind of like decode it. It looks like it was a plain parable that Jesus is speaking to them, but he's speaking about seeds and seeds that are fell on the ground, and the disciples have a hunger to understand what he was talking about. And so in verse number 18, Jesus explains what this parable means, and I would like also for us to read there really quick, and so that we can understand and have that understanding just as the disciples really long to understand. And this says this, listen then to the meaning of this parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the law of the kingdom and does not understand and grasp it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and at once welcomes it with joy. Yet he has no substantial root in himself, but is only temporary. And when pressure or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles and falls away, abandoning the one who is the source of salvation. And the one on whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries and the distractions of the world and the deceitfulness, which is the superficial pleasures and delight of riches, choke the word, and it yields no fruit. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands and grasps it. He indeed bears fruit and yields some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 and some 30. Now, according to that parable, what kind of a soil, what kind of a ground would you like to be? I'm sure most of you would like to be the last one, right? You'd like to be the soil that is well prepared. You'd like to be the soil that receives the seed and yields and gives out a productivity. In fact, the Bible says that a good soil yields out productivity. It tells us that that when you're a good soil, and in this case, when the good soil seeds are applied in a good soil, they're able to yield 100 times. Some will yield 60, while some will yield 30. Amen? So there's a productivity that comes along as a result of a soil being well prepared. And in this case, we find out in the word that the soil represents our heart. Amen? Our heart. It is amazing how we care for so many things in this world. We may care for our skills. We may care for how people, take us or how people regard us. It is amazing how we can, how we worry about whether we are knowledgeable or not. But you know what? The driving force of any leader, and we are leaders in our own capacities and in our own rights, the heart is the greatest tool that we can have in our lives. Amen? And King Solomon, in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23, he says, above all else, praise the Lord, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Can somebody say amen? So we can worry about our skills. We can worry about our knowledge. We can worry about how people perceive us. We can worry even about how our personality traits. But the Bible says that above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Amen? Now, what do we say when we are talking about our hearts? What is the heart that we are talking about? Is it the physical heart that is located on the upper ridge of your abdomen that pumps blood, consistently and keeps you alive? No, we are not talking about that heart. That heart is very important too, because without it beating, then you'll be no more. Praise the Lord. But we are talking about a spiritual heart. Amen? That spiritual core that holds the substance of who you are. Praise the Lord. That indelible part of your life that consistently holds the core of who you are. Amen? Let me tell you, sometimes we may not even know that this happens. But every action that we ever took, every thought that we ever processed, emanated from that heart, that spiritual heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? You know, I was reading somewhere and it really grabbed me. I was reading somewhere and I was saying that sometimes, we think that we have feelings of hatred. You know, you cannot just have feelings of, you can't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to hate this sister. I'm going to hate this brother. I'm going to hate this person. No, but it starts at an attention towards something. You know, it is how it is how we might be focused on one thing. You know, before you hate somebody, you would contemplate about the things that they did for you. Amen? It could be maybe they robbed you or they swindled you some money or maybe they talked bad about you and you just don't just rise up one morning and say, I'm going to hate them. But this is what I want to tell you, that in our hearts, in our spiritual hearts, inside of it, within the parameters of that spiritual heart, it is the reservoir that holds everything that concerns you. Amen? It contains your personality traits. It contains the way you react to people. It contains the way you react to God. It contains the way you react to God. It contains the way you react to certain things. And it has to be invoked by an attention from you. In other words, you have to, it will only be invoked or provoked by a consistent attention by you thinking, you know what? Why did she do this for me? Why did he do this for me? And you begin now to feed your heart with these ideas that maybe I need to hate him. Maybe I need to do something. Maybe I need to seek vengeance for what he did for me. And before you know it, out of that heart, that contains all the issues of life, it begins to flow things and ideas and mentalities of hatred. And so you just begin to have, oh, and I didn't even know. It happens almost involuntarily that you're beginning to have these feelings of hatred, the feelings of not liking this other person, just because you created an attention and you provoked it so that things out of that heart begin to flow. Amen? And that's why King Solomon says that above all else, amen? Above all else, above your personality traits, above all the skills that you may have, above all your education, above all everything that you've thought you are, above everything, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. In fact, in other translations it says, it is the wellspring of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is speaking this parable, and he is speaking about seeds falling on the ground. And so the ground represents our hearts. So there are many times that God wants us to take us to certain levels of life, and there's sometimes God wants us to gradually lift our esteem or lift things that relate to our lives. But if our hearts are not ready to accept and to receive the word of the Lord, it will just be like that word that fell on the ground. And because the person, the Bible, Jesus explains to his disciples and says, because they never had any understanding. In other words, their heart could not receive that word so that it can cause change and it can allow things to flow to bring change into their lives. So the birds of the air came and ate that seed. Amen? And so the Bible also says that there are seeds that fell among thorns. And we read up in, you know, from verse number 18 what also that meant. So there's a possibility that our hearts could be tilled on or plowed in certain areas, but certain areas are uncultivated or unprepared to receive certain seeds. And so you will, when the word, and as the Bible says, when the word fell in that land among the thorns, it was not adequately prepared. Because when the seed fell down, it gained a little bit, it inched a little bit into the ground. But as the shoot started coming up, it was shocked. And as you all know, that a plant, you know, require the leaves to receive the light, and so they can synthesize the food for the plant, and so the plant can continue to propagate and continue to grow and continue to thrive. So that the thorns come and choke it. And so it says that, you know, the persecutions and the stuff of life and the distractions of life came and choked up this seed, and so within a short time it died. So it all boils down to how our hearts are prepared. Amen? Out of your heart, the Bible says what? Out of the abundance of your heart, what speaks? Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. So let me tell you. If you find somebody who is really angry, and they say, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? Where did you do this thing for me? And they're talking and they're talking and they're talking like a typewriter. That is the stuff that is really coming out of their heart. It's not just coming out of the mouth. Are you listening to me? So out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? So you will only speak from that which is in the reservoir. So my question to us this afternoon, what is in your reservoir? What have you fed in your reservoir? Praise the Lord. Amen? Let me tell you. We are surrounded by a news cycle. You know, when you watch the news, some of you have watched the news, and you've had the video, right? You've had that video. Why are you? No, you know, let me tell you. We come into the church and we pretend like we have not even had CNN and you've not watched. I know you've heard about the news, you know. Somebody called me, have you watched the video? Are you still voting? I said, So we are surrounded by, we are in the 24 news cycle. And you can get into the internet on your phone and you can get, you know, you can get online anywhere. There's Wi-Fi and you can access whatever kind of information you want to get. Amen? And there's a propensity for your eyes to see what your eyes want to see. Amen? Are you listening to me? You know, this morning, as I was even preparing for this message, it's weird. You're typing to research the message, and something pops up that is absolutely not connected to what I'm doing. And it's even a Christian website. And I'm like, wow, where is this world going to? So we have to be really keen what you want to see. Because your eyes can see, want to see some other things that you don't want to see. Am I talking to somebody? There's things that we call the gates, you know, the gates of your heart. Amen? We have the eye gate. The eye gate controls the things that you see. And you may not know the effect of what you see, what the injury or the danger or the repercussions of what you see. You know, you may never know what it causes in your heart. This is what we have there as the eye gate. That's the eye gate. It controls what you see. We have what we call the ear gate. It controls what you hear. Amen? And all these gates, and there are several, may lead. There's also the mind gate, the things that you allow your mind to think about. All these gates, let me tell you, they have their roads leading to your. They lead all to your. And let me tell you, if there's any war that has been instigated from the kingdom of the enemy, it is not the war against our intellect. It is not a war against our skill. It is not war against our knowledge. It is not war against what we think we may be thinking we are fighting about, but it is war against our heart. The enemy knows that in our heart, there is a reservoir that contains our dreams. Amen? Let me tell you, if you ever thought to start a business, if you ever thought to go to school, if you ever thought to do something extraordinary that was beyond you, it emanated from your heart. Hallelujah. Amen? It starts to boil and to simmer in your heart. Oh, you know what? I can go to school. I think I need to better my life. I think I need to go to school. I think I need to start a business. I think I need to call maybe Pastor. I need to call maybe Joe. He's more. I think I need to do this. I need to call maybe George. He can maybe direct me in what I need to do. It all starts in the heart. Okay? And so it starts to provoke the intentions of what you want to do from your heart. So what you feed in your heart is what is going to flow out. Are you listening to me? And that's why it is very dangerous to hang around people who are negative. You know, there's a saying wherever I come from, they say, the one who walks with a, oh, somebody said to Mukondo, the one who walks with a, I mean, the person that you walk with, if their temperament is whatever it is, if they are bad natured, sooner or later, it is only a question of time. If you hang around a person who is always negative, he sees everything that you can't make it, or somebody who does things that are evil, sooner or later, even having good, being a good person, there is a great propensity for you being changed from a good person into, you know what we say sometimes? We say, I'll work with that person, I'm going to change them. And you know, of course, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord lives in us. Otherwise, how are we going to tell people about Jesus? We ought to go among the people who do not know the Lord and so that we can share the gospel with them. But we need to be wise, you know. You can't go just, you know, I find people, you know, we go hang out with the people who are drunks, you know, and thinking that we're going to change them, or people who are promiscuous, or people who do other things, and we hang around them wanting to change them. Before you know it, it is the leaving of the Pharisees. Have you about it in Matthew 23, the reason of the Pharisees is able to spread. Have you ever put chachu, yeast in a dough? What happens if you put it like today? and you're preparing to do some mandazis in later, maybe tomorrow, what does it do? It spreads through the dough and causes the dough to do what? To rise. Amen? So it is the leaven of... Jesus warned up against the leaven of the Pharisees, because the leaven of the Pharisees is able to spread. It is easy for good, for bad company to corrupt good morals. Amen? And so we need to watch out what comes into our hearts. A good, prepared, tilled, plowed, and this is P-L-O-W, plowed, E-D, plowed heart, well-prepared soul, will be able to receive the word of the Lord. Amen? And when the word of the Lord comes into your heart, when it defines a ground that is well-tilled, a ground that is well-prepared, it is able, it will always give productivity, praise the Lord. It will always bring a yield. It will always bring a yield to what it, I mean, to, it will always bring a yield because your land has been properly being prepared. Praise the Lord. Are you getting blessed? So the issues of the heart. David in Psalm 51, verse number 10. You know, I was looking, you know, King Solomon was the son of David. And it looks, they're talking about the same things. And these are guys who really struggled. They were men like us. And I told you, some of these prolific preachers that we read about, they're just men like us. You know? It's not that they had extra strength to do certain things, Irene. They were just like men like us. Struggled the way we struggle. And all of us struggle with so many things. We have weaknesses, right? But this guy, David, he writes in Psalm 51, verse number 10, and this is what it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." Why would you think David would pray such a prayer? Because he understood the concept of his... He understood the concept that is written by his son here, saying, "Above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life." He says, "Renew, create in me a clean heart, O Lord." In other words, Lord, rebrand my heart. Because the things that I want to do, that's the things that I find myself, the things I don't want to do, I find doing those things. Lord, if you can create my heart, because I know in my heart it is the reservoir, it is the bank of everything that I am. It holds my dreams, it holds my aspirations, it holds my endeavors, it holds my family future, it holds my career, it holds my personality. If, Lord, you can create my heart again, then I know that the things that will flow out of my heart will also be, will create an impact. Amen? Now, what do you think, for some of you maybe who grew up in a river, you know, because a river flows, you know, from a high point, you know, to a low point. And usually, you know, it ends up probably in a lake or maybe in a dam or maybe in an ocean. If the source of that water is poisoned, what would happen to the things that would be downstream? Or maybe if we had some fishes, you know, that would be swimming downstream, what would happen? They will die. So it is the same thing with the heart. If we allow stuff to get into our hearts, you know, and you know, the heart is just a reservoir, and a reservoir releases. You have seen all those tanks that are built in cities, and they, you know, you go to a certain city, like if you live in Mansfield, it says Mansfield, you know, or Little Elm, we have a big good tank, you know, up there. It is a reservoir. It says Little Elm, kind of like a city identifier. But what it is actually a reservoir. It's a water reservoir. And it's built in a high place, and it releases water to supply to the residents in that area. So a reservoir is nothing else but a storage facility that oftentimes releases to its tributaries, right? So if the water is poisoned from the source, even the life that may be downstream, like fishes or wherever that water is going to go, it is going to be poisoned. Amen? So the state of your heart dictates dictates how you're going to react to certain things. So it is very, very important to guard our hearts, what comes in and what you hear, and make sure that you are positioned a virtual guard on every gate. Amen? Are you listening to me? Position a guard on every gate so that when you're looking and you're reading, and you might be reading a Bible, you're reading, oh, and Jesus came and he did good and he went into Jericho, and all of a sudden it looks like, and there's a pop-up. And you know what? And it flashes like this. And it wants you to click it. And you attempt, like, do I click it? No, I was reading the Bible. Right? But maybe I need to buy these socks. And the moment you click it, it takes you to another website altogether. And now that website, it brings you, pop, pop. They're popping everywhere now. And you wonder, oh God. I started first of all by reading the Bible. That's what I was doing. And then I thought I would buy these socks that are so cheap. In fact, that's the time you realize that you didn't even have socks in your drawer. And before you know it, you've gone and been distracted. So what do? Put a guard there. You know? When it comes, close it. Amen? When you hear things, let me tell you, and I'm talking to you, I'm not holier than thou. I've watched a video too, and I've heard things. And it's so distasteful. You know what it does? It impacts your subliminal, it affects your it settles somewhere in your mind involuntarily. You may not even know that it's affecting you. There's so much obscenity that we're settling in our hearts. And you know what they do? Because it is a reservoir, sometimes they are flowing out. And when they flow out, you have these tendencies of not feeling like, oh, I don't want to read the Bible. Oh, I don't want to pray. I don't even want to go to church. I don't even want to go call somebody or encourage somebody. I've been there. So tell me, if I get an area of spiritual dryness and you're not even aware of it. Amen? This morning I woke up and I was like, wow. You know, we changed our fellowship day to Thursday. And so this week, this last 2 weeks, we've not come to church. And I felt, wow. Coming to church on a Bible study or prayer really helps my heart. Amen? And I said on Thursday, I'll have to look for a Bible study where I can be going so that I can hear the Word of God and so I can be refreshed every week. Amen? So if you're not going to a home church or a home church cell, we have a home church in Mansfield. We have a home church in McKinney. We have one in Dallas. You need to hook yourself, because before you know it, you might think it's something that is not important. But let me tell you, the Bible says, do not neglect the coming together of one another. Because in the coming together of one another, you're going to hear the Word of God. And you know what you're doing when you're hearing the Word of God? You're feeding into your heart. You're replacing bad material or any material that is unworthy that is in your heart with good material. And guess what? When there's good material and it's a reservoir, it'll begin to flow out. Praise the Lord. Amen? Three things and I'll be out of your hair. Why should we guard our hearts? Number one. Why should we guard our hearts? If somebody came and asked you, why should you? What is this process talking about? Why should we guard our hearts? Number one is because it is valuable. Amen? Your heart is? I need to hear you. Your heart is? Now, in Little Elm, they pick up trash every Friday. Okay? And I go out and sometimes I do it in the morning. Sometimes I go, if I'm coming home, I go to where I put the trash can and I put it in the curb so that they can come and pick it up in the morning, right? Right? But when I put it out there, I don't, you know, it's a plastic in a green and, you know, and there's trash. I don't go back into the house wondering, oh my God, is there going to be a thief who is going to come and steal this trash? Do you wonder when you put your trash in the curb? And worry and have sleepless night. Why? Because after all, what is it? It is trash. There's nobody who is going to come and say, are they looking at me? And they run with a green thing and run away. If you put it, well, maybe if you put something there, there are people who come and collect, you know, nice things. If you have nice things from your garage you want to dispose of and you don't want to take them to a thrift store, sometimes you put them by the curb, and sometimes there are people who come and collect them and they make money out of them. Now, that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that are inside the trash. Why do I not worry? Because after all, it is trash. It is not valuable. Are you listening to me? So, but this heart, I have to guard it because it is valuable. You know, it is valuable. It is the essence, it has the essence of who you are. It has the authenticity of yourself. It has the core of your being. It is where your dreams are. It is where your desires are. It is where your passions live. It is that part of you that connects with God and other people. Just like your physical body, if your heart, your spiritual heart dies, your leadership also dies. And in this time, in this instance, when I'm talking about leadership, I'm talking about the things that you do personally to advance your life. Amen? Number two. So number one, we have to guard our hearts because it is valuable. Number two, your heart is the bank, and we already talked about this. Your heart is the bank or reservoir or the source of everything that relates to you. Amen? It is the wellspring of life. Your heart overflows into thoughts, words, and to actions. If the source is poisoned, life downstream, we talked about this, is also poisoned. So, and I say here, an unhealthy spiritual heart will negatively affect everything about you, your family, your friends, your ministry, your career, and indeed your legacy. Number three, and this is most important, we guard our heart because our heart automatically is in a combat zone. It is in a war zone. Otherwise, they wouldn't have said, you know, Solomon wouldn't have said, you know, Sister Grace, that above all things, guard your heart. I mean, he would never tell us to guard it if it was never exposed to war, right, Joe? So we have to guard it because the devil is out there rolling like a lion wanting to access your heart. So we have to guard it. We have to guard it. What is this that I'm saying? I'm guarding it. I cannot watch this. What is this that I'm listening? I cannot listen to this. I will prophesy good things instead. Amen? Amen? You remember the words that were spoken, maybe some of us, you know, by maybe school teachers. You know, they looked at you and they dismissed you. They said, you are not even going to get to class 6. That is where you're going to get. Look what the Lord has done. You went past class 6, you went even to college, and you're here in America living like a king or a queen, enjoying the good of the land. But if you had settled on what your teacher told you, or your mama told you, or anybody told you in the village, people looked at you, maybe all your brothers were drunks, you know? They didn't have any position of abode, and so you tried to rise up, and they also disqualified you. You know, he'll just go the way of his brothers, you know? You'll never amount to anything, you know? But look what the Lord has done. God has endeared you. He has given you success and victory. Why? Because you guarded it. You may not have been aware, Sister Liz, but God allowed you to guard it. And that's why you're here today. Amen? So we need to guard our hearts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand on your feet. Did you get blessed? Amen. Break your fallow ground. Break that fallow ground. That heart that has resisted change, it cannot receive the word of the Lord. Next week, maybe we shall check to see how can we nurture that heart so that, how can we cultivate that heart? Because we cannot come with djembes, you know, virtual djembes and begin to dig into our hearts. What are those djembes? What are those spiritual djembes that we need to nurture our hearts and so that we can be ready, it can be ready to receive the word of the Lord? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you and I honor you so dearly, especially because you brought this word into my heart to bring to us. And I pray, however it was received by these hearts, Lord, I pray that it shall be beneficial to each one of them. Lord, I declare that it will effect change. And that, Father, we shall watch and our hearts above all else. We shall trust you to give us strength. And we shall intentionally focus on the positive things so that we can provoke even the good things to flow out of our hearts. I thank you for each and every family. I thank you, Lord, even for our lives this coming week. And I pray that we shall be victorious and successful in all that we do. We give you praise, Lord. If there be anyone that is sick in this place, Lord, I pray that you shall touch them in a special way. And being in that mood of prayer, I feel this in my spirit, being in that mood of prayer, is there anyone who would like to receive the Lord? It is a good thing to announce this because this is the greatest miracle that can ever happen to somebody's life, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of your heart. You've never given your life to Jesus. This is an opportunity that you have. Just lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anyone? Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you, Father, for your word. And I pray that your word will rekindle a fire in us that will cause us even to excel in what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can have your seat briefly. Would like